Okay, got the thumbs up over there, so that looks good. Okay, so this morning we have a very encouraging topic, something that's been on my heart. You know, a couple of weeks ago we spoke about the faithfulness of God and that He never fails. And in the past we've spoken about the awesome phenomenon of prayer, the great privilege that we have to be able to speak to an almighty God who is way beyond our wildest imagination. No, we say it often, but it's so true. We don't have to make any special arrangements before coming to God in prayer. We always say, try to speak to a head of state. You won't be able to. You'll never get them on the phone or anything like that. You say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. You're talking to the King of Kings, the King of the universe, and immediately. That's what prayer is all about. We can come to the Lord as a child comes to the parent in time of need. But sometimes we may be tempted to think that the Lord is not paying attention to our prayers or has forgotten our request. Not a chance. This morning I would like to speak about the fact that God will never forget us. He answers every prayer. He is aware of each event in our lives. We say that the Lord is omniscient, which means all-knowing, but sometimes we need to be reminded that nothing escapes Him. He is totally aware of every single detail of our lives. He hasn't forgotten even one of our prayers, including the very first prayer we raised to Him as a child. God remembers it. God sees, He hears, He knows, He understands everything about us and cannot forget. He is watching us, caring for us with the love that will not let us go. Talk about the tenacious love, God's love. If we could turn to Genesis chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 7 to 14. That's Genesis chapter 16 and beginning at verse 7. We know that a rough situation had developed between Sarah and her maid, Hagar. Sarah and Abraham had made an agreement. They thought God was not going to send them a child, and they made an agreement that he could go and have a child with Hagar. And Hagar conceived, and things got really rough, and Hagar had to leave Sarah's house. So Genesis chapter 16, beginning at verse 7. Now the angel of the Lord found her, Hagar, by the spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. He said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarah. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that there will be too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live to the east of all his brothers. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God who sees. For she said, have I even remained alive here after seeing him? Therefore the well was called Beer-lahai-roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. God had already made this promise to Abraham that he would have a son. As we said, Abraham and Sarah took matters into their own hands, and Hagar had to flee to the wilderness, had to get away from Sarah. It got so bad. But the Lord saw Hagar in the wilderness and did not forget her. He even made a promise to her that he would greatly multiply her offspring. And he does. It's the Arab nation today. The Lord sees us when we are in a spiritual wilderness. He doesn't forget us or his promises to be with us and take care of us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 reads, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." That's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Hagar spoke words which are still a comfort, which still comfort us today, which are, "You are a God who sees." I'm going to read to you Psalm 139. If you want to turn with me, you don't have to. I'm going to read it to you. Psalm 139 and verses 7 to 12. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. Talking about God seeing. "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol or hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike unto you." You are never hidden from God. He always sees you and your circumstances. There is no place on earth or in the entire universe that God cannot see. Nothing escapes his vision. Darkness cannot hinder or obscure his vision, because darkness is as the light to God. God sees the darkness as if it were light. Here's a line from an old hymn. The hymn is titled "King of All Kings." And the line says, "Darkness cannot," this is beautiful, think of this when you're in trials and temptation. "Darkness cannot hide me. He'll find me, I know. For men are his diamonds, and he loves me so." Then he reads something else encouraging. Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 27 to 31. Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 27 to 31. Isaiah chapter 40 and beginning at verse 27. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel?" I just want to stop there for a minute. When it makes a comparison between Jacob and Israel, Israel signifies the people like us who know the Lord. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord," there's always hope in the Lord, "will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Can anything be hidden from the Lord? Is that possible? No. Aside from having perfect vision, the Lord has telephoto vision. He has wide-angle vision. He can see everything at the same time. He has microscopic vision. His vision is never blurred. He sees everything. Even the little viruses that infect us, he sees them. He sees the little atoms that we're composed of. Vision is never blurred. He doesn't have to squint to see anything. He doesn't need corrective lenses. You know, years back, the big thing was like LASIK surgery, and it's still good today. God will never leave. He doesn't need glasses. He doesn't need contact lenses. He doesn't need LASIK surgery. His eyes are never dim and never get old. He doesn't have cataracts either, never will. No matter what condition we are in, he sees, he knows, he understands, and he cares more than we could even imagine. That's a big one. Sometimes you wonder, you know, is God really paying attention? He cares more than he knows. He doesn't miss a thing. Everything is in his vision. I want to read to you Exodus chapter 3 and verses 7 to 14. These are very encouraging portions. Exodus chapter 3. You can turn to, if you want, in verses 7 to 14. And the Lord said, this is what the Lord said to Moses when he's about to send him into Egypt. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I'm going to repeat that. That is important. I have surely seen the affliction of my people. When you're in an affliction, sometimes we lose sight of God. And God is telling us this morning, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a sign unto you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you will serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and they shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. The people of Israel were in Egypt about 400 years. They may have thought that God did not see and was not aware of their situation. But the Lord told Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Don't doubt when you're in affliction. God is 100% aware. He sees, he knows, and he understands everything about what you are going through. If you have been in affliction for an extended period of time, don't lose hope. God has surely seen your affliction. Nothing ever escapes God's eyes. God hears. Let's back up a page to Exodus chapter 2. If you want, and I'm going to read verses 23 to 25. Exodus chapter 2 and verses 23 to 25. Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt had died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and the cry for help because of the bondage rose up to God. So God heard the groaning, and God remembers his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. And God has taken notice of each one of us this morning. Israel, the Israelites in Egypt cried out, as we read. I just want to emphasize this point. And the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, colon. Doesn't say who they cried out to. Who did they cry out to? Some of the Israelites in Egypt began to worship idols. So when they cried, who did they cry out to? It says they cried out. An idol can't hear, so who was listening? Good question. God was listening, and he took notice. He saw he was listening. He heard the cries of his children who were in bondage and hurting in Egypt. We were in bondage to sin and hurting, but the Lord saw our pain and misery and heard our cries. Amazing love and mercy and compassion came through Jesus. And as we read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, God heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters. I have heard their cry. God hears your cry. God was aware of the cries of his children and was going to do something about it. It just wasn't listening to them cry. He had planned on doing something about it. And as we know, he surely did. The Lord identified himself to Moses as I am. And the Almighty I am was going to deliver his children from bondage. No matter how powerful the Pharaoh of Egypt was, he was no match for the Almighty God. We may have our problems, our afflictions, our hurts, but Satan is no match for the Almighty I Am. The Almighty I Am sees and hears. He knows about your problems and he will act. He's your Heavenly Father. He's going to do something about it. You think if a father sees a child in trouble, say he's getting beat up by or bullied by another child, he's not going to do something about it? Well, how much more God's going to do something about it? Hundreds of years later, the king of Assyria, of the Assyrian Empire, Sennacherib, defied the Lord, but discovered that he was no match for God. And I'm not going to read, there's quite a bit of reading over there, but Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, sent letters to King Hezekiah of Judah and to all the people of Judah to taunt them and terrify them, saying he would completely destroy them. And he had the power to do it. Sennacherib was a mighty army, the Assyrian army. And whatever land he set out to conquer, he did. So now he's coming up to Judah. And he said, I'm going to destroy you like I destroyed everybody else. And the Assyrian army was one of the most brutal armies that ever existed. The lands that the Assyrians attacked were not able to stand against them. But when Sennacherib was preparing to attack Jerusalem, he didn't know who he came up against. He sent letters to install God and his ability to deliver, saying that no God has been able to withstand me, and neither could your God, he will not be able to deliver you. This is what Sennacherib said. King Hezekiah of Judah, even though he was overwhelmed, acted wisely in contacting the prophet Isaiah and presenting the letter to the Lord in the temple. When we are overwhelmed in trouble and affliction, there is always an answer and relief and comfort in prayer. Through prayer, we can approach the Lord at the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies in the temple. Keep in mind, King Hezekiah could not enter the Holy of Holies. He could not enter the Holy of Holies. Even though he was king, he couldn't enter the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could, once a year on the Day of Atonement. So here comes Hezekiah into the temple to present this threat from King Sennacherib to God. Couldn't enter the Holy of Holies. But thanks to Jesus, we could. So when we get our taunts from Satan, and when we're in trials and temptation, and we don't know what to do, and we're in a crisis situation, and we're beyond like, what am I going to do? We can go into the Holy of Holies, thank you, Jesus. Go before the mercy seat and cry to Jesus. And boy, does he hear us. We can bring our afflictions to Jesus, who was known as the Christ of every crisis. Keep that in mind, because Jesus is never in crisis mode. Never. We may get there, go to Jesus. He's never in crisis mode. Nothing overwhelms him, and he's never in crisis mode. He sees our struggles, our afflictions. He knows our fears, and he knows our hurts. He sees what Satan comes up with. He sees when Satan comes up against us with fiery darts. He hears our prayers and defends us. No matter how bleak our situation appears, God is able. Whatever Satan throws against us, God is able to handle it for sure. Remember that he refers to us as the I Am. And if he says I Am, that means he can. Now, as far as Hezekiah bringing the letter to God in the temple when Sennacherib was taunting him and saying, I'm going to destroy you, God heard the prayer. So what happened? After Hezekiah prayed, one angel killed 185,000 soldiers of Sennacherib in one night. Sennacherib shook his puny fist at the Almighty God and was miserably defeated. He got up the next morning and found his 185,000 of his men dead. It happened in one night. God knows our situation. He hears our cries, and he will do anything, and he can do anything to get us through it. He is able. He identifies himself as the great I Am, and he's never in crisis mode. He hears our prayers, and he will do anything he has to get us through it. He never, never forgets our prayers. He remembers. How about Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel, prayed earnestly to the Lord for children, and the Lord heard her prayers. For a while, she couldn't have children. She was married to Elkanah, and Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, had children with Elkanah. Hannah couldn't. Hannah prayed to God, and the Lord heard her prayers. And 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19 reads, in quotes, and the Lord remembers her. The Lord remembers your prayers. He answers all right. He not only gave her Samuel, he gave her four or five children after that. And this is a woman that was supposed to be barren. God hears all your prayers, and he will do something about it, and more than you could even imagine. She wanted one child, and God gave her four or five more. And Samuel became one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. We're still reading about him today. And the Lord remembers her. And the Lord remembers you. He remembers us. And those online, and the Lord remembers you. Hundreds of years later, the people of Judah were in captivity under the Babylonian Empire. Let's read that in Psalm 137. We're going to read verses 1 to 6. I know it seems like a lot of reading. I cut a lot out. This could have been a mini seminar this morning. But for purposes of time, I don't want to keep you too long. This subject could be like a mini seminar. But we're going to read now Psalm 137 and verses 1 to 6. I'll give you a moment to get there. You don't know the way God is going to answer. You may be praying for one thing, and God's saying in his great, great heart, you always talk about the great, great heart of Jesus, I'm going to give you that and a lot more. He said, Hannah, he gave her four or five more children beyond her request. Don't limit God. You could get a lot more than what you're asking. Psalm 137, verses 1 to 6. But this is when the children of Israel, children of Judah, actually, were in captivity in Babylon. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. We remember Zion. Upon the willows in the midst of it, we hung our harps. For there our captors demanded of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing unto us, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And God answers beautifully, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chiefest joy. When it says over there, when it mentions the word mirth, verse 3, for there our captors demanded of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, mirth means gladness and joy. The tormentors said, show us gladness and joy. And then they said, the people of Judah, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And God answers, how can I forget you? In this verse 5, the Creator is saying, may my right hand forget her skill. Take a look at the creation around you. It boggles your mind. What are you looking at? Things here on earth, the natural things here on earth, plant life, animals, weather, or you're looking at outer space. You think God could forget his skill? Come on now. I don't think so. God will never forget his skill. So he is never going to forget us. Let's check that out. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill. I think that tells us God is never going to forget us. God will never, ever forget you. Another reading, short reading. Like I said, I cut out a lot, but if you will follow me, I think you will be encouraged. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 14 to 16. Isaiah 49 and verses 14 to 16. With Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. And God answers, can a woman forget her nursing child, and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. An abnormal mother may forget her child, But there is no chance of God ever forgetting his children. Jesus died for us, and the nail prints are still in his hands. Israel may have been going through a very difficult time, but it didn't mean that God has forgotten his children. We may be in an affliction for an extended period of time, but it doesn't mean that the Lord has forgotten us. Don't let a waiting period fool you. God never forgets. Be careful in the waiting period. You may be tempted to think God's not paying attention, he forgot, where is he? God never forgets. It's all over the Bible. God understands. God knows how we feel because he can feel our hurts. You know, when there's an earthquake, there's seismographs on the other part of the country, on the other side of the world, that could pick up the geological activity, right? You think God can't pick up our hurts? If those seismographs pick up geological activity on the other side of the planet, tell me that God can't pick up your hurts? He sure does. He feels what's going on inside of you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest but cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. God understands this more than we could know. Matthew 11:28 says, Jesus said, come unto me, because he knows the burdens that we carry. He knows about our pains. He sees our afflictions. He knows our trials. He sees our tears. Psalm 34, verse 6 reads, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. If you've ever been alone and cried, no one heard you because you were alone. No one heard you except God. When you thought you were alone and no one was paying attention to your crying and your hurts, God heard your cry. God felt your hurts. Your Heavenly Father was paying attention. He hears every cry, and you can be sure that it affects his heart. His heart is touched with our tears. He's a Heavenly Father. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 56, verse 8. You have put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? If God bottles your tears, how could he not be paying attention to you when you cry to him? Nothing escapes God's vision, hearing, or any of his senses. He made the senses. Why wouldn't his work perfectly and beyond what we could think or imagine? From age to age, he's the same. Therefore, he will never have hearing loss. His eyes will never grow dim. He never gets dementia. He sees, he hears, he knows, he understands. He cares beyond what we could think. He will never, never forget us. There's a chorus to a song, God Can't Forget. I'll read you the words. We'll close with this. Can a river forget how to run? Can a woman forget her own son? Can the sun cease to set? Yes, they may, but my God can't forget. We'll close with that. We'll get down to prayer. If someone could raise a prayer.